Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
I'm here to help.
On August 21st,
we have a story.
Mutiny arrives on the big screen.
Who are you?
It is, trust me.
Jason Statham stars in the action movie to end your summer.
What do you want?
Vengeance.
Mutiny. Rated R.
Welcome back to Double Play with myself and Brandon Walker. Today we are talking about dodgeball.
No time.
I'm doing the fucking intro.
Yep, you're not doing it very well.
I'm doing it great.
No, you're not. You know why? What kind of intro is hello, welcome to the show?
That's not what I said.
No, you. But what you said this. You said welcome to the show with myself. Tell them your fucking name.
You know who I am.
Nobody
I'm
says
Chris Klemmer.
Hey, welcome to Nightly News with me.
Maybe Johnny Carson did.
That's not no.
Jay Leno, yeah, you welcome back.
You really shoehorned that Jay Leno impression in.
I've been saving that for a week because I was doing impressions. I forgot about that one. That's a good one.
Throw me a little Carson. Throw me a little Carson.
All right, Brandon Walker is here. The guy is a complete asshole. I think he's inbred. I don't know.
It's a little much.
All right, I don't think it is. I think it's just enough.
I like the Leno though.
I'm working on it.
Any Letterman? Just okay.
Can't do it.
He's harder to him.
Indiana impersonations.
Well, they don't have a voice. Yeah. So it's Double Play.
It is.
Talk about sports movies here.
So I was trying to tell people before you interrupted me. Today it's Dodgeball, a true underdog story, and Basketball.
So we pair these movies up with light. Either sometimes the first eight or so we did good movie, bad movie.
Right.
Then we decided to start pairing movies up that made sense together
and have them like go against each other.
Right. And these are two movies that are not traditional sports. They are, I would call them sports movies. Basketball is just an invented sport, and dodgeball is the thing we grew up as, you know, playing as kids.
Yeah.
This was an interesting experience for me.
Me.
I had never seen basketball.
No, I hadn't either.
But every time I say something about what's your favorite sports movie, like two idiots in the chat will say basketball or right. Something like that. And I always thought, it must be a cult following. It must be pretty good.
Guys who do South Park. That's a
guys who do South Park. I mean, that's a healthy pedigree.
Right.
And then Dodgeball, I saw when it came out. I've probably seen it in its entirety 1.5 times in my life.
That's probably about what I think I'd seen like once or twice beforehand.
It's not one that I've watched 20 times.
Right.
But these were two movies that really it was almost like watching two movies for the first time. I watched Dodgeball last week and I watched Basketball last night, so it was fresher on the mind. I have a lot of avenues to go. I don't know how you want to start.
Well, I mean, I'll just say off the top, there's one movie of these two I like quite a bit, and it's one Dodgeball. I mean, I just think that I almost feel like I missed out on not seeing it more. I think this is a very, very, very funny movie. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I laughed, had a big smile the entire time I'm watching it. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
What I wrote down was, it is the most perfectly acceptable movie ever made.
Oh, it's better than that.
Why do you always fucking get pissed? Always. To me, it is the most. If you're over at your boy's house, right, and he says, "I don't know, I'm bored. Let's throw him dodgeball." That's a perfectly acceptable thing to do. That's fine. If you're sitting down and you're scrolling through the channels and dodgeball's on, that's perfectly acceptable to start watching it. Like it is the most. Yeah, okay, I can do that movie ever. It doesn't excite me, and in fact, I think that's why I never watched it a second or third time. But it is, in fact, a good movie. But let's go chronologically. I want to do basketball first.
Okay.
And to do basketball and dodgeball, you got to understand the culture a little bit, right? Like the mid-90s don't get enough credit for being just different as fuck.
Oh, yeah. I think they do. I mean,
the mid to late 90s were something the fuck else.
Weird movie after weird movie after. And I think that's why.
After weird cultural phenomenon, the music we were listening to, the ska shit and the wrestling was gigantic. All these alternate lifestyle things were huge.
Right.
And in that was born South Park, right? South Park was how big are you on South Park?
Not huge. I like it. I watched it the very first season it came out religiously. I'm not a big cartoon guy, but I definitely think it's very funny. When I do watch them once in a while, I enjoy them. I'm just not a huge fan, but it's
so
it's good.
Basketball is by the creators of South Park, yes. Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They star in the movie. But
where are you on South Park?
So I'm almost the exact same thing as you. For people that are like 20 or 25 listening to us right now, I don't know if we can get across how big of a cultural phenomenon South Park was from like 97 to 98. It was fucking everywhere. everywhere. It was gigantic. It was huge. And I know it's a hit now. It's a big hit. But back then, it was like bumper stickers,
T-shirts. Oh, my God. You know, we killed Kenny. Or
everywhere
Kenny.
You look.
Everywhere.
And
yeah.
Because of that, I watched the first season, too. But because of that, I thought it was a passing fad.
Me, too.
I thought, okay, well, South Park had its moment. And then, like, 98, 99, I stopped watching it.
Me, too.
I never in a million billion years would have thought this was going to be a cultural touch point that lasted, that stood around for 25, 26 years and is like a, you know, speaks on our society. Like it is a voice in our society of how stupid things are. Back then, it was just a stupid, vulgar ass cartoon that we like it because it's vulgar. We like vulgar things. It was right when the TV and movies were really discovering you could just put vulgar shit out there and people would consume it.
But it was well, it was clever, though. Even back then, it was still clever.
No, it was very clever. Yeah. But it was also, they're cussing on TV. Like they're doing crazy shit. But South Park was huge. I liked the first season, like you said, and then I just faded away from it.
I think we're the wrong age for it.
Which is weird, because we're the right age for it.
The right age when it came out. But then we instantly, almost like we took it in and it's like, all right, well, we'll move on to the next.
We thought we aged out of it like we thought we were supposed to, right?
Right. And I think if we were 5 or 7 years younger, we would have been just completely enamored with it for its entire run.
Like if we were 12 and that humor hit us then, okay, that makes sense.
I think discovering it when you're 18, it's like, all right, I'll watch this. But then, you know, when you're 18, you got so much other stuff going on. It's like it's a cartoon. You just end up moving on.
The age of the phenomenon like this, is it gone? Because if you go back to when we were 1990, when we were 11, that's when The Simpsons hit. And The Simpsons were the exact same thing.
Yes, it was.
They were just everywhere. Bart was on cartoons everywhere. You couldn't throw a rock without hitting The Simpsons. They had hit songs on the radio about The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Like, and then South Park did it again. I can't remember the last thing that has gripped this country like that.
I'm sure things happen. But you make a good point, The Simpsons. I think the reason we could never really get into South Park as much is because we already lived through The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's like almost like doing it again felt regurgitation. Which isn't fair to South Park, because South Park is very funny. It's very brilliant. Whenever I watch them, whenever I catch it on TV, I watch it, I always laugh. But I just, it's not appointment viewing for me, just because I think I was just barely too old.
So the point for the whole thing was, in 1998, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, who created South Park, were on top of the world. Now, they would stay there. I'm guessing they've made bajillions of dollars.
Not even staying, but they weren't at the top of the world yet. They're on the top of the world now, the money they have.
But they would go on to make things like Team America World Police. Yep. They would go on to make other things.
South Park the movie.
What's the Broadway play?
Oh, Book of Mormon. Which is, I mean, just insane.
So they made these huge things. But this was kind of, I think this was really, after once South Park hit, this was their first non-South Park project.
Right.
It's not good.
No.
It's not good. I'm sorry, you got a text?
No, I'm getting my, it's all baseball.
You're getting blown up?
It is. Well, it's just baseball. So I'm going to shut my phone off now because I'm a professional.
Really rude.
I am sorry. I just shut it off. Phone is off.
Okay.
Black screen. Everyone can see it's off.
Well, why's it got to be a black screen?
That's what the color of the screen is when it's off.
That's what color nothing is? Like when people do nothing, they got to be black?
I think when
unbelievable.
I think when you die, though, what do you think happens? I think everything goes.
I don't know if it's black. I don't think we see anything.
I think it just goes to black, right?
Yeah, but we don't see it. I don't think we see the black.
No, I think it just ends, right?
Right.
Right. Do you believe in an afterlife?
Huh?
Do you believe in an afterlife?
I personally do, yeah.
You think we're going to go to heaven or hell?
I do.
Okay. I don't.
I'd certainly like to.
I would too, but I don't think
this is all there is to look forward to. My God.
This is it.
That's depressing.
Well, it's great. This is all there is. We might as well soak it in, baby.
So this is the peak.
This is it. You talking to me. This is as good as it gets.
So basketball hits on July 31st, 1998. And here's why I said that. 1998, from a movie perspective, is stacked. Absolutely stacked. This movie came out, it made $7 million. And you think Trey Parker, Matt Stone, they made bajillions and bajillions. This flopped.
Oh, huge.
This didn't make the top 10 its first week. It finished 11th its first
week.
It finished 11th. This flopped so big, people did not like it. Did not watch it. So if it has a cult following now, you didn't like it back then, or at least most people didn't.
Didn't go see it. No, and not only that, but it got savaged by critics. So it was a commercial failure, critical failure. It was a nightmare.
Just the top 10
that
weekend. And it was Saving Private Ryan was in its second week of release.
Right.
Which was a monster.
Yes.
Parent Trap, which was
opening weekend. But it was that's a big movie.
Yeah, but think about these movies it was up against. Saving Private Ryan, number 3, Something About Mary. There's Something About Mary.
Right.
Monster.
In its third week in release.
Yeah, you got Ever After, Negotiator at 4 and 5. The Mask of Zorro, Really good movie. You didn't like it?
It's fine.
I liked it a lot.
Made money.
Lethal Weapon 4, which made money. Number 8, finishing up, Armageddon.
Yeah.
Dr. Dolittle 9.
Which made money.
And Dr. Dolittle made a shit ton of money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It made money. That's These are all like pretty big movies.
And then Truman Show is like down in the 20s. Like 98 is loaded.
I mean, Titanic
is finishing up. Mulan's finishing up.
33rd weekend release, and it made just about as much as basketball did.
Jeez, I think it made $3 million. Basketball did.
Mulan was in theaters as well.
Yeah. Still there.
I mean, just an insane amount of great movies.
But they put it in the summer thinking it was going to be big, right?
I don't know. You wonder. I mean, this week 4 movies came out and released. So I think at that point,
I guess July 31st is kind of after the end of it. Yeah.
I mean, I think they still had some high hopes for it. They're probably hoping that South Park crowd would come out to it. I'll be honest, I never considered seeing this in the theaters. The commercials look stupid, the reviews were awful, and I just never had any intention of seeing it.
So your watch for this show was your first watch?
Yes.
Mine too. I never saw it, never considered seeing it, never thought.
No.
In fact, I would go so far as to say in my mind when it came out, I think, well, that's probably it for them. I never did see it, so I watched it last night. There are, I do think, if you enjoy the South Park brand of humor, which is, well, I guess South Park has kind of, that brand of humor has changed a little bit. But if you enjoy that kind of crude sight gag humor, there's a lot. There's some here.
Yeah, there is.
Some good jokes here.
There are a couple good jokes. The stuff with like Al Michaels and Bob Costas is very funny.
Bob Costas at the end saying, "You think you're excited? Feel my nipples." Like that's
like they all bought. I give them credit. Those guys were all in.
Al Michaels bought in. Tim McCarver bought in.
Who is a notoriously guy having a stick up his ass.
Al Michaels, Bob Costas, Tim McCarver, Pat O'Brien at the end. They were all the sports guys like bought in and were treating it.
Best part of the movie.
It's really good. Not the best part of the movie. No. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind if you think that's the best part of the movie.
Funniest part of the movie.
But they got a character called Squeaky, right? And the way they treat Squeaky, and one time he has to do something like he in the background, they're having a fight, and in the background he's just getting destroyed by people. It's a really funny kind of gag where they're like drawing and quartering him. They're doing all these crazy things. There are some funny gags here. Like one time it just Matt Stone and Trey Parker, which one is it?
It's
two South Park guys are standing there. Parker. They're standing there and they're naked, and it pans, and then you see they just have cartoonishly long dicks.
Right.
That's funny.
It's funny.
Long dicks are funny.
Yes.
Long dicks are never not funny. There's some of that, but there's no story, and
so I'm going to let these
goofy
guys off the hook a little bit.
Okay.
So they did not write this. They did not direct this.
They didn't write it?
They did not write it. It's written by 4 people. One of them is a genius, David Zucker.
Okay.
Who I know you're a huge fan of.
Yeah, I love Zucker. Just tell me a couple things he's done.
Naked Gun.
Okay.
Airplane.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
just greatest comedies ever.
Yeah, I mean, some of the, and he's those like spoof comedies.
Right.
He's basically him and his brother Jerry are the forefathers of the spoof genre. Yeah. They created it with Kentucky Fried Movie.
There is like a commentary in this movie about modern, which I guess it was 97, 98, modern sports back then, how it had lost. There's an actual, they're making fun of that, which it kind of hits home sometimes. The first 3 minutes before you meet the Trey Parker and Matt Stone, is that right?
Yeah.
Before you meet them, there's like this montage about how sports are not as good as they were. And then you have these touchdown dances and these funny things. Like, it's a really funny. The movie's got a funny opening, I think.
That was okay.
And the hockey player's head comes off. And,
yeah, that's all right. I did.
Okay.
You know what made me laugh a lot was the Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries.
That's really fucking
funny. I was laughing my ass off.
Robert Stack just cussing his ass off.
And it's funny. Remember how
still haven't found this fucking guy.
Right. And he was so bad in Caddyshack, too.
Yeah.
And he was so funny here.
But he's playing Robert Stack here.
Right. Yeah. And he had the Unsolved Mysteries theme. It just worked really well.
Shit ton of cameos here.
A lot of cameos. Having said all of that, this movie is pretty lousy. And you know what it is? It's an Adam Sandler movie without the charm of Adam Sandler. And it made me think about our episode last week when I said that Chris McDonald was the MVP of Happy Gilmore. I immediately had regret after watching. I'm like, no, Adam Sandler is obviously the MVP. That was stupid of me to even think otherwise. And this is what happens when you have two guys that aren't actors, that aren't charming, that aren't good on screen in a comedy. It doesn't work. If Adam Sandler is the lead here with Chris Farley, this is a better movie by, 5, 10x.
It's funny that you came... I like that take. It's funny that you came with that comparison because I have it for the next movie. I think Dodgeball is an early Adam Sandler movie that's got the edges sanded off and is shined up and polished. Like, to me, that's just Happy Gilmore with a little bit better production value, a little bit better cast. Like, that's what that is.
I guess. We'll get into Dodgeball in a bit.
That's fine.
Because I have thoughts.
They didn't write it?
They did not write this.
So how does that work? They came up to these guys and said, hey, I know you write South Park. Would you like to star in a movie?
I mean, this was Zucker's baby. So the game of basketball, which, by the way, is stupid as fuck.
Yeah.
He actually played that. They would play that for years, and it was supposed to be a TV show.
Well, here's my issue, one of my issues with it. We couldn't know. Which one's the blonde one?
That is Matt.
You don't know?
I don't know. I'm going to look it up right now.
Whichever one the blonde one is, we couldn't have taught him how to shoot a basketball a little bit better.
Right? We should know who these guys are. That is Trey Parker. Excuse me.
We couldn't teach Trey Parker how to shoot a basketball better?
No.
He's obviously not shooting it. He's just throwing it past the camera. Yeah. And like it is distracting how poorly he shoots a basketball. The concept of baseball as a sport, yeah, it's something you would play in your yard that you would make up with your friends, and then about 3 minutes later you get bored and go inside and play Nintendo. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Why are you just staring at me?
I thought you had more. I thought there was more to it than that. I thought you had like another beat to what you were saying. The way you were talking, it sounded like you had more to the story, and you just ended abruptly. That's on you.
I feel like that's on you. You had nothing. You didn't leave me alone. You just sat there.
I was listening to what
stone-faced.
I was listening.
How could I elaborate if you're stone-faced?
What difference is me being stone-faced? Make me laugh. Come on.
It's not my job to make you laugh. It's basketball's job.
It did not. It did not make me laugh very often. It did at times, okay. Like you said. It had these weird. It was a very strange experience watching this because most of the time I was just annoyed as fuck watching this, and then you'd have the Robert Stack thing, and I'd be like, "This is actually very funny."
Robert Stack thing is great,
and then but then it would just die down for another 20 minutes of shit.
I tell you what my experience was. I couldn't watch it all in one sitting. I would watch 20 minutes, and I'd be like, "This sucks." Pause it. I'd walk around a little bit.
Yep.
Come back, watch about 10-20 minutes. I couldn't watch it all in one sitting. It was a lot to take in. Now. The best part of the movie?
Yeah.
The best part of the movie. Friends, if you weren't alive back then, I'm 44. I was in 1998, I was 19 years old. You were 19. You were going to be 19 later that year, correct? So you spent much of 98, 18 years old. But we were the same age.
Yeah.
If you look back now, I can't describe to you the nuclear heat that was Jenny McCarthy and Yasmin Bleeth in the mid-90s. Jenny McCarthy from 1995 to 1999 might be the hottest human being that ever lived.
I am not going to argue this at all.
Jenny McCarthy.
I always say Jennifer Connelly is my number one of all time. Jenny McCarthy.
Singled out Jenny McCarthy into movie Jenny McCarthy is the hottest human being that we have ever produced as a society. I don't know how old she was. I assume like 22, 23, somewhere in there. I don't know. But my God, and she's toned down in this movie a little bit.
Yes, she is.
She's toned down. And then one of the great, it's almost like, we know Barry Bonds, but if you look at the 90s, people don't talk about Albert Bell as much as they used to. But in the 90s, Yasmin Bleeth was throwing 99 too. Yasmin Bleeth was fucking, she was on fire.
Incredible. So you ever know what Suncoast movie studio, like the it was a place for young people. It was a place in the mall where you could buy like VHS movies.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a Sam Goody, like an FYE stuff.
Yeah,
like
but they
that.
Only did movies.
Okay.
So when I was 14 or 15, I went into the Suncoast one near me and I stole the Playboy Jenny McCarthy. It was like an hour long video. It was basically like soft core of her just kind of dancing around completely naked for like an hour. That video, I don't know if I ever, got as much of a workout watching a video in my life than I did with that video.
A workout.
A lot of wrist action.
You masturbated vigorously to...
Vigorously. For I would say, like, a good, like, 2 years. It never got old. That was my go-to.
So you're saying you masturbated minimum 200 times to this video.
Oh, I think so. That's fair.
Okay.
What about you? You weren't having some fun with the Jenny McCarthy?
I wasn't as active a masturbator back then. I didn't really...
That's such a lie. You're so full of shit. You were 15. You weren't.
I was 18.
No. I'm talking about like back in like the mid 90s when you were.
What is this a masturbation show or is this a movie show?
It can be both. When you have a movie this fucking stupid and worthless, it's about
Jenny McCarthy is in this movie.
You brought this up. You said Jenny McCarthy.
I brought up Jenny McCarthy. Yes, you brought up beating your meat.
Because that's what you did when you were 15, Jenny McCarthy.
Okay, fine. All I've said is she's hot. She is hot. Smoking ass hot.
Sorry, guys. Brand has never masturbated. For those who have, in the mid-90s, Jenny McCarthy was the go-to.
I almost want to look at Jenny McCarthy singled out. But Yasmin Bleeth was right there with us.
Yes.
Yasmin Bleeth, she was like the brunette Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah.
And they are the two female leads in this movie.
Right.
Although McCarthy's not really a lead. She's just kind of there.
No, they kind of waste her here.
They do waste her. It's like for the first 20 minutes, they use her fully.
Yeah.
And then they forget she's there. And then she comes back at the end, kind of. But she's
a better actress than Bleeth is. Like, the roles probably should have been switched.
I don't care at all about their acting.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Why shouldn't McCarthy have been the love interest? She's even on the poster, but then Yasmin...
She is on the poster, yeah. Yeah. And Yasmin Bleeth in this movie 5 times more than Jenny McCarthy.
Right.
Singled out.
Pamela Anderson also has to be in this conversation. We're talking about...
She does,
late 90s.
But
mid-late 90s.
I just singled out Jenny McCarthy. It's
unbelievable.
Unfucking believable. God almighty. Okay. Where are we at?
This is what happens. See, now you're more horned up.
Oh, go to the bathroom and masturbate.
No, I'm not. I got out of my system when I was 15, 16. You haven't.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing. Bad movie.
Awful movie.
Hey, LCB listeners. We're going to take a quick break for a message from one of our partners.
Outshine is the number one frozen fruit bar brand in America. And once you try them, it's easy to see why. Their fruit bars and mini fruit pops are made with real fruit or fruit juice using simple ingredients you can pronounce. That means no high fructose corn syrup and no artificial colors or flavors. Outshine bars are gluten-free and even a good source of vitamin C. And the flavor lineup? It's stacked. We're talking strawberry, mango, coconut, watermelon, pineapple, cherry. You name it, there's something for whatever you're craving. You've got classic fruit bars, mini fruit pops, and fruit blends that swirl multiple flavors together. Think pina colada, cherry limeade, and more. Find your new favorite refreshing snack, Outshine, at retailers nationwide.
All right, now back to the episode.
MVPs are, to me, and I'm not even fronting, it's Yasmin Bleeth and Jenny McCarthy.
I'm going to say Robert Stack.
Really? Just he's in there 3 minutes.
It made me laugh. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
And it comes in late. It's like if you're tired of the movie and if you're slogging through, he comes in about like 120 in.
My number two MVP?
Yeah.
Al Michaels.
Al Michaels is good.
He's really funny. And like those guys, I don't want to say had a lot to lose, but.
They were big.
They were the biggest sportscasters in the business. And they're saying some things in this movie that were like.
Is it fair to say, outside of Jenny McCarthy maybe, but they were might have been the biggest stars in this movie?
Oh, Al Michaels is the biggest star than Jenny McCarthy. More famous then.
Yeah, yeah.
Question.
Although Jenny McCarthy was just having a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's had a long
time. Okay, so Al Michaels and Bob Costas are the two most famous people in this movie.
Yeah.
Even now?
Well, no, not now. Now it's these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
These guys are just such titans in comedy. They've made so much money. And I just think it's because they didn't write or direct it. They only acted in it, which they're not good actors.
So you
couldn't have gotten worse for them.
The fact that they didn't write it blows my mind. Because if I were going to write a comedy, right, it makes sense. They wrote, like, this one. Mm-hmm. Matt Stone ends up making out with Jenny McCarthy.
Right.
This one makes out with Jasmin Bleeth. Yeah. Like, that makes sense. They wrote movies so they can make out with those two people.
Right.
In fairness, they also make out with each other.
They do.
And you can see it coming. They tease it like three times.
Oh, they do, yeah.
They tease it like three times. Is there anything redeeming to it?
No,
I don't think it's like...
One interesting fact, just to kind of show how bad the script is, I guess. So Squeaky, the kind of the third guy, the guy they kind of pick on, he was not even written in the original script. It was Matt Stone and Trey Parker's friend. So they added... Basically, they changed the rules.
Wonder why I didn't know that actor.
They changed the rules of basketball to make it a three-man sport so they could have him be in more scenes.
There's so much that doesn't make sense about this movie. I mean, the sport itself, it's a three-man sport, but on the bench they got like 8 guys.
Right. And we never play.
We never meet them.
And I guess it might be a joke or something, but it's like it's not really – I don't know.
Can I tell you my biggest nitpick, just being a sports nerd that I am?
Okay.
The evil owner's motivation made no sense.
Zero.
It made no sense because he is an owner of a team in basketball, in the baseball league, and what he wants is the players to embrace free agency
right.
and go other places and get higher salaries.
Right.
Like,
He's the Kurt Flood of owners.
Correct. Like,
makes no sense.
That's not how ownership works.
No.
This guy has the sweetest setup in the world. He's paying these guys low salaries, and they're stuck. Like,
they're indentured.
They're indentured. Like, this guy has the best owner setup in the history of the world.
Yes.
Whoever wrote this didn't know how sports worked.
No. It's clear. And a lot of this stuff is just, right. That stuff's just...
It is a movie about a fake made-up sport in the driveway, so it's not going for...
No, but it's trying to make a statement on...
It's not going for Citizen Kane here.
But they're trying to make a statement about sports. They spent that whole opening doing that, and they completely fuck it up.
So you think, okay, let's say... I'm trying to think, 98. Let's say it's a big-budget movie, and they don't get Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They get... Ben Stiller's right there. They get Ben Stiller and I don't even know who.
David Spade.
Ben Stiller and David Spade to play these guys. You think this is a hit movie?
A hit? I don't know. It's tough to say hit because you mentioned that whole.
I think it finishes like seventh in the first week.
Yeah, I mean, it would do better. Because we said the 98 summer, 98 year is stacked with movies.
Yeah.
99 is even more stacked. But would it have been a better movie? Absolutely. Because these guys just have there's nothing about them that's interesting to watch on screen. They're not likable.
Well, the characters aren't even likable, though.
They're not, but they're bad actors. It's just the whole thing just sucks. And it feels so amateur watching them because they're just not good. And to their credit, they seem to know that. They don't do it again.
Well, do you think this is as, what shirt are you wearing?
Me? This is a Rob Manfred clown shirt, which you can find.
Oh, I thought it was Minahan.
Oh, it's
my angle looks like Minahan.
It's Rob Manfred. It's the commissioner of baseball.
Okay, relax.
You watch baseball every once in a while. You'd know that.
I watch basketball.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it as low a score as I give something like Ed, though.
No. I think it's even better than Ed E.
Yeah, I think there's...
Not much, but...
I think there's enough jokes here. You could be reasonably entertained. You're not going to be entertained by the story or the plot or anything. You're not going to like yourself afterwards, but there's some joke. Like the Robert Stack 3 minutes is terrific.
Yeah.
And I guess we keep dancing around it. Robert Stack hosted Unsolved Mysteries, and he comes in and does a TV segment about this guy that goes missing, and he just cusses the whole time. He's like, we don't know where this motherfucker is. It's really fucking
It's really funny. It's done in the same, like I said, they have the theme right. They have the setup right. It all just works perfectly, and then
Jerry Springer shows up in this movie?
Yeah.
How many movies did Jerry Springer show up in the night?
That was a man that did not turn out a paycheck. Like, he didn't even read the script. He's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You're paying me? Fine.
And I was watching it because Dan Patrick and Kenny Mayne show up as well.
Yes, they do.
How many movies have the SportsCenter anchors been in? They've been in a ton of them.
Which I don't blame.
I don't blame them. I'm saying they're in so many movies.
Yeah.
I bet they've been in 30 movies. Just SportsCenter anchors.
But there's a lot. Yeah. That's pretty fair.
All right.
What are you giving this movie? 1 to 100.
Well, MVP is to me Yasmin Bleeth and Jen McCarthy because I can look at them.
I'm gonna go Robert Stack.
All right. LVP, you gonna co do it for Parker and Stone here?
Yeah, I guess. See that or Zucker? I mean, I asked him to give it to Zucker. He directed this. He wrote it. It's his game. It sucks.
Yeah, the bad owner.
Yeah, was it Robert Vaughn?
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Has he been in anything else?
Oh yeah, yeah. He was in.
He was super bad here.
You, Christ, now I'm...
Ernest Borgnine was in
Ernest
this
Ernest Borgnine, Oscar-winning Ernest Borgnine.
He was the owner at the beginning, right? The died?
Yes.
Yeah.
Robert Vaughn was in Ten Commandments. He's been in a lot of stuff.
All right. What do you give this?
I'm going to give this a 26.
That's low.
It's not low. It's fair.
I think that's...
He's always the bad guy in Superman 3.
I don't care. I'm not old.
Talking about? You're older than me.
No, I'm not. Not. Look at me and look at you.
Yes, do that. You're older. Congratulations.
If we were on the streets and we were talking to bitches, and like, hey, bitches, who's older?
Right off the bat, you said that, they would say you're older.
What's up, bitches?
Like an asshole.
Me and you were walking down the street. What's up, bitches?
Yeah.
They would think I was younger.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, look, I'm wearing colors.
I'm wearing colors. Look at me. I'm wearing a...
Wearing a commissioner of baseball t-shirt.
It's a great shirt. Which
nobody...
The Barstool
no man
store.
Under the age of 50 wears a commissioner of baseball t-shirt.
What are you talking about?
I give this like a 44.
No.
Why do you always do that?
You're
Why can't
wrong?
I say things?
Because you're...
No.
Stupid
this,
shit.
There's a lot... There's worse movies than this.
There are.
There's
I
worse
know,
movies
I'm acknowledging
than this.
That. Eddie... a couple other ones we've talked about are worse.
This is not that bad of
That's
a...
closer to like what you said about Draft Day.
I mean, Draft Day's not good.
No, but this is way worse than Draft Day.
Okay, and I have it scored worse than Draft Day.
Oh, way worse.
I think this is...
You really enjoyed it that much? You said you had to, like, take a break every 10 minutes.
44 is not enjoying anything.
50's average. It's like a C-.
No, that's not how grades work. That's not how grades work.
Talked about that.
That's not how grades work. Did you just punch yourself with the microphone?
My chin to the microphone. Dang, I know. And big chin. Yeah, it just makes me mad when you get the scores.
Sucks so much. You suck so much. You're bad at scores.
I'm awesome.
Gooch, do we have the list? We need a list of our scores.
I know. I have it somewhere.
Well, find it.
I was trying to tweet it out, and then I haven't the last two, but I'll go back and fix it. But I tweeted out, but then you don't look at the tweet anyway. It doesn't matter. That kind of made me a little upset, honestly.
What tweet? What?
I'll send out a tweet every week with the scores, but then you don't look at it, so then it doesn't make a point as a reference point for you.
You're too
trapped, like, oh, wrestling. It's like, look at the fucking scores, you know?
You like dodgeball better?
Oh, so much better.
You know what I like about the setup we have right here? The dodgeball over here on my shoulder kind of looked 3D.
Yeah. I was trying to grab it, right?
Why do you not? That's Jenny McCarthy's titties.
I'll grab that too.
Dodgeball, an appreciably better movie. There's nothing bad about Dodgeball. I think you liked it a lot more than I did. I think it's good. I think it's a good use of hour and 40 minutes. It's not like one of my very favorite sports movies. It's not like, I don't think it's upper tier. I think it's a solid B movie.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. The Vince Vaughn, I think a lot of this movie depends on how much you appreciate the Vince Vaughn era.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn in Swingers I think he's so good in Swingers, he should have gotten an Academy Award nomination. I think that is just a hysterically great movie. This isn't that good, but Vince Vaughn just being this kind of lazy character, it's written so well.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller as basically the same guy from Heavyweights, but it's still a great character.
You know what I find interesting about this movie? That Vince Vaughn is the lazy kind of underdog character, and Ben Stiller is the go-getting, attacking winner. When if you looked at them, Vince Vaughn's 6'5", good-looking ass dude. Right. Ben Stiller is like tiny, and like you could easily flip this.
Yeah,
you could easily flip it.
I think it works better this way though.
I do too.
Yeah,
because Ben Stiller has that kind of he'll just throw caution to the wind with his assholishness. And Vince Vaughn is like the most likable asshole in movie history.
Absolutely.
Isn't that the way to describe him?
Perfectly.
Wedding Crashers, he's a likable asshole. The movie, likable asshole, like old school, likable asshole. Here, not really a big asshole, but likable.
No.
But he's a guy that you normally wouldn't really root for, but he's got that it factor, likability to him.
Yeah, there's some charm about him. But you're about the roles being switched, you're right, because even Christine Taylor, who plays the female lead, that's Ben Stiller's real wife.
Yeah.
So it was like they really should have been switched in a way, yeah. But it works out so much better that they weren't.
Now, I find it interesting you came wanting to talk about Vince Vaughn. Now, I know he's the lead of the movie, but I have two actors pulled out of this movie I want to talk about.
This cast is wildly
this
stacked.
This cast is incredible. Mm-hmm. But we were in an era back then of these 2004, 2005. Those comedies we got were fucking incredible.
And they made money.
Like Anchor
open with $30 million weekend.
Like Anchorman's coming in a couple of weeks after this, and then you're leading into the Knocked Up, the 40-year-old Virgin. All those are coming. Mm-hmm. Like you just had Old School the year before. Like 2003, like 2006 is it and Dodgeball doesn't really even register to me as one of the elite of those groups.
I think I underrated too much, but you're absolutely so. The movies in the 90s, I think, are better. If you just look at the overall movies in the 90s, the comedies of the first decade of the 2000s might be the best decade of comedies.
I agree. I would say 80s is pretty good. 90s comedy isn't nearly as good as 80s or 2000s.
I think 2000s is,
and I think from like 2000 to 2009. First of all, you end up with The Hangover, 2009.
Yep.
You open it with Meet the Parents and Zoolander.
I don't love Zoolander.
I do. Right. I do. And then you've got Anchorman, you got Old School, you got all the Ferrell's whole run.
Yes.
Of good comedies. You've got all the Apatows, you've got your Superbads, like
you even have Superbad, which is fantastic. And you have like a movie like Observe and Report, which I know is kind of a cult movie. I love that movie to death.
And then I'll say a couple of movies like Best in Show and A Mighty Wind, which are two Christopher Guest movies, are 2000, 2004.
They're both very funny.
The Royal Tenenbaums.
2000, which is maybe the best comedy of that decade.
So now,
the best movies of that decade.
Now, I want to bring out Ben Stiller.
Okay.
Because I think he gets slept on a little bit.
Totally.
We watched Happy Gilmore last week.
Yes.
And he was one of the bright spots of that movie. From 98, in 98, he drops Something About Mary. Mm-hmm. 2000, he drops Meet the Parents. 2001, he's in both Zoolander and The Royal Tenenbaums. 2004, he drops Dodgeball. 2008, he's in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
That's
he directed Tropic Thunder.
Right. That's five classics in 10 years.
Yeah.
Comedy classics. Like, that's, like, if you think of the early 2000s, you think Will Ferrell. You don't think Ben Stiller as much. At least I don't believe you do.
No.
He's
right. He doesn't get the recognition he deserves.
He's right.
He also, you know, he directed Cable Guy.
What do you think about Meet the Parents?
I like the first one a lot. Very funny.
I'm not worried about Meet the Fockers. I'm talking about Meet the Parents.
Shit.
And we got to have this conversation real quick. I don't know if Gucci's listening, but you don't like Zoolander?
Nah. I don't like it.
At all?
At all.
I don't know if that's. Are you giving thumbs down because you don't like it either, Gooch, or because
I love
your thumbs down?
I love Zoolander.
You love Zoolander? Yeah, I think most people do. It might just be a me thing. But
say it again.
I love Zoolander.
Zoolander is incredible.
And
you don't like Zoolander?
Yeah, I don't
he
like
did,
it.
He did
Zoolander
Severance
is
last year.
Awesome.
What was that?
He did Severance last year too.
Severance, yes, yeah. He directed Severance, which I haven't seen yet. It's
incredible.
I think Walter Mitty's a great movie.
I think Zoolander's a top five or six comedy in that decade. Top 10 for sure.
Oh, I don't, not me.
I think it's better than this.
No, I don't at all. No,
Zoolander,
not even close.
Zoolander.
I don't like Zoolander. I just don't like it.
What about Zoolander did you not like?
Maybe it's because the whole
Stiller's great. Jerry Stiller's great. Wilson's great.
I think it's the being stupid element. I think it just rubs me the wrong way. Like, it's just not what I want in my leads. Like, I don't like when they're so. It just doesn't work for me. I don't like the characters. They're just so stupid. It's
really?
So mindless. It must be. I don't know. I mean, you have everyone involved in the film is super talented, so it might just be. It must just be
I
a taste thing.
I fucking love Zoolander, man.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time defending my opinion on that one, just because everyone involved is so talented, and there's a lot of people besides yourself whose opinions I respect that do like that movie a lot. So it might just be a me thing.
Do you think that was a necessary shot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel good about it?
I do. Yeah.
Hey, it's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after, the Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together, and of course, their denim, because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Ben Stiller does. You're absolutely right, though, Brandon. Ben Stiller does not get anywhere near the respect he deserves because, like I said, he's not just in these movies. He's directed a lot of them. He's involved with them. He's a brilliant guy. And you know what? Here's my point about Ben Stiller. I was thinking about this watching the movie.
Okay.
You
don't like that he's Jewish.
No, that's a you thing. I think he hasn't done enough in the last decade. Like Goo said, he is doing Severance now, which I have to catch. But,
yeah, but
I feel like we missed out on the last decade. Like Ben Stiller should be doing more and more.
But the problem is comedy died.
I know, but he's good in Walter Mitty. Then do more dramas.
But comedy died. Like Ferrell, yeah. We don't get enough Ferrell. We don't get enough Stiller.
Ferrell wore out his welcome, though.
He did, but
Stiller didn't.
Somebody ought to be out there producing great comedies. I feel like Stiller could be in the mix. Stiller could be in the mix to do that. Now, I have a second actor I want to pull out here.
Okay.
He's a character actor. And the more I see him, the more I realize that every time he shows up in a movie or a TV show, I'm going to fucking love it.
Steven Root. Do you watch Barry?
I don't watch Barry, but Steven Root is in News Radio, a remarkably underrated sitcom.
So funny.
It's so good, and he's the best part of it.
Phil Hartman?
I think Steven Root's a little better. Both good.
I mean, talk about a show, though, where you have those two in it.
Yeah.
The whole cast. Joe Rogan's in it, if you're a Joe Rogan fan.
Yeah. So Steven Root's fantastic.
So good.
He's in his little piece in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is funny.
Office Space.
He's the funniest part of that. He's one of the funniest. He's funny. He's funny here, and there's one more. But Steven Root.
Great in Barry. He's unbelievable in Barry.
Yeah, but there's one more I'm missing.
Steven
Root is great. Steven Root is fucking great. And if Steven Root shows up in a movie, it is going to be good.
You see Steven Root's name in the credits, you just have to smile.
Yes.
He's one of those guys. You're like, oh, great, he's in this too? Because I forgot he was in this.
Right.
And
I did too.
He pops up and I go, oh, yeah. Like, it was like, we're in business now. The whole cast is fantastic here. But you're right, Steven Root is one of the best comedic character actors around.
I'd be hard pressed to name one better. That's how good he is.
I put Stephen Root in like the Steve Buscemi camp of like you see their name pop up and you're like, all right, here we go.
I'm not trying to be rude or an asshole. I just want to see all his movies, and I always go to the wrong thing. And now I'm looking at all his TV shows, and I don't care that he was in Perry Mason. I don't care that he.
The world's confusing for you, isn't it? It's not easy getting older, huh?
I mean, to make that joke land, you'd have to assume that I wasn't confused before.
Right.
I got old. You have to assume that I wasn't an asshole before all this happened.
Wait, not only do we get Stephen Root from Office Space in this, we also get Gary Cole, who's
another one.
Who's Lundberg. Who's
every time he shows up is good. Gary Cole is
he's great in the Brady Bunch movie.
There's so many people who are good here. Jason Bateman is phenomenal.
He is. That is one of the greatest. I can't. I'm trying to speak here. I have so many like, positive verbs going on in my head. One of the greatest interpretations of sports broadcasting you'll see in a movie. That character is so it's so on point for like what you saw. You saw all these X game or extreme athletes on everything back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And he plays it pitch perfect. He has this glazed look of confusion on his face the entire time. He doesn't know like what's happening, but he's always excited. It's the perfect combination. It is every single even like syllable he utters, I'm dying laughing.
I liken it to Fred Willard in Best in Show, where he's and every time it goes to him, it's just like he's really stupid and really rude, but every time he's just so happy to be there and so into it, and he's so, man, isn't this great that we get to do this for a living? I feel like Jason Bateman's got a little bit of that, but he's got the glazed over.
Like look cool, like the way he sits, he doesn't sit normally.
Yeah,
his hair.
Yeah, he's always a little higher. He's always a little like up here.
Right. And the hair is always awesome, awesomely wild and weird.
Yeah,
it's the way he's dressed. It's fantastic.
They nailed this cast from 1-2 all the way down to like 20.
Because of that, I think this movie is more rewatchable than maybe I've given it credit for.
Yeah.
Because there's so many little jokes like that. The way everyone behaves, the little mannerisms, it all works.
My problem is a little bit of it's a little paint by numbers, right? It's the Happy Gilmore formula. I mean, that's...
You have a character.
Down to Patches O'Houlihan is just fucking Chubbs. It's
Oh, I think they're different.
How?
You have a mentor.
How?
I mean, then you might as well then Mickey is the... I mean, Mickey's the...
I feel like it's a little paint by numbers. That's all.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, Patches is a whole different character than Chubbs is a friendly guy. Patches is an asshole.
I guess.
Even that, like having the 1950s clip and then showing, Patches now, he's like, this is a complete piece of shit. Throwing wrenches at people. Justin Long is very good in this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every time something popped up in this movie, I was smiling or laughing. This was such an enjoyable thing to watch. I had a big smile. I was laughing the entire time I was watching it. It was a very casual watch.
It is. It's a very relaxed. It's not.
I feel like you're hanging out with your buddies.
You don't have to dive into it. You're just like, all right, well, this is fun. This is cool. This is happening right now. It is better. It's a more rewatchable movie than I thought it was. And I, you know what I think it is? I think it really did get trapped under the weight of Anchorman and the weight of 40-year-old version, everything around it, because old school is beloved to this. Like, it's so much around it that it's hard to rise up.
Like this better than old school.
No chance. Come on. What are you doing?
I rewatched.
You like this better than Zoolander and old school?
Okay, so old school is very good. This is just slightly above. Well,
All right. Very quickly, that decade.
Zoolander is not.
Okay, that decade, what do you think is the best comedy?
Probably Royal Tenenbaums. Superbad, Observe and Report, and then maybe The Hangover.
You got Royal Tenenbaums. It's a good movie. I like it. I enjoy it. And I love Best in Show, so I'm not going to – it's quirky. I mean, Anchorman's really fucking good.
Anchorman, do no fault of its own. It's like that song you hear on the radio too many times. I'm just Anchorman out. But when I first saw Anchorman in the theaters, I would have said that would have been number one.
I might go Anchorman.
Anchorman Experience in the theaters.
I might go Anchorman, Wedding Crashers, Hangover – and I was a little old for Superbad. I understand Superbad was great.
Right.
Superbad was great, and then 40-year-old version's great.
You got Borat. Same decade.
I can't watch Borat. I watched it once. I get the secondhand embarrassment. I don't.
I tried rewatching it a couple years ago. I had exactly that. I'm like, this just feels mean to me in a way. And I'm like, I can't enjoy it. The first time I saw it in the theaters, though, I was crying so hard.
I can't consume Borat.
I was crying.
I can't consume Borat more than once. I just can't. And it was funny, but when he brings that sack of shit, like I just my wife's vagine hangs like a wizard's sleeve. Like it's funny. Again. We just got to Borat. That's like 10 movies deep.
You know what's crazy? We have all these movies we're listing, and I'm sure we're even forgetting a couple. There is not one that stacks up to any of those in the next decade.
Not one.
It's wild.
And I think we're discovering why Dodgeball didn't live in our minds as much as... Because it was just squeezed out. It was squeezed out by these other movies.
I got Role Models. I have to have Role Models in my top three.
I never saw Role Models.
Oh, my God. It is so... Paul Rudd, it's fantastic. It's so great.
There's even... Like, I Love You, Man is good.
Yep. I Love You, Man is better than any comedy that came out in the last decade, I think.
When did...
not even that great.
Was Bridesmaids in that decade or this decade?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
It was like around 2010, 2000.
Yeah, Bridesmaids is very good.
Bridesmaids was good. So if it snuck into that decade, it's probably the best comedy of that decade. But we just stopped doing comedy. It sucks. It fucking sucks.
Society changed.
I know, but society's bitch ass because we need comedies. Comedies help. Comedies fucking help. You telling me if we had movies like this coming out, you know, once every 2 or 3 weeks, that wouldn't be awesome?
It's wild because I understand.
But comedies on TV didn't really die. Comedies on TV didn't die.
No, but they're different. I mean, even like, all right, let's say I don't agree, but like 40-Year-Old Virgin, there's stuff in there. I understand why it doesn't work now. Yeah. Okay, fine. There is no reason why Dodgeball cannot exist in today's culture. There is nothing offensive about it. It's just entertaining. It makes me laugh.
I don't think there's anything in old school that isn't.
I don't think there's any of these things that are.
Jokes are funny.
I know, but like, you know what I mean? But like, even the PC police can't come down on Dodgeball.
Yeah, I couldn't think. But
then why don't these things? Why are
maybe the German the girl or something? I don't know.
How would the pirate character work for you? Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It didn't bother me.
I mean, it didn't. Whatever.
Some people really hate it.
That's where I say this is a Sandler movie, kind of edged out. That's a very Sandlerish.
I agree with that.
That's a very Sandlerish thing. And I'm not a Sandler guy, and I didn't like Happy Gilmore, so that I could live without that stuff. Right. There's some of that in this movie, but mostly this is kind of a polished, where it doesn't have that as much.
Yeah,
it's what it says it is. It's an underdog story. It's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's Vince Vaughn, and it's just. Here it is. We're playing dodgeball. Ben Stiller's going to be dialed up to 11 the whole time.
Yes.
He's really good dialed up to 11.
Perfect villain.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
I think it's a nearly great movie. My score is probably going to piss you off.
All right. I got to do this real quick. I'm just going to pull up the movies, the 2000s comedies, and I'm going to say, is Dodgeball better or worse than this movie?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Now, this is tough because you're probably going
to... Hey.
It's like comparing William Hayes and Mickey Mantle here.
You can absolutely compare them.
I'm just saying...
They played in the same era. You can compare them.
That's a hard comparison.
They're both great.
Having your team, William Hayes or Mickey Mantle. I mean, if you had a draft one, you'd probably take Mays for the longevity, right? But Mantle had a better peak.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this is hard.
You know what? I discovered on Baseball Reference that people idolize Tony Gwynn and think he's one of the greatest hitters ever. Wade Box was better.
Wade Box is absolutely better. There's no question about
it. But you can't say that.
I'll say it every day.
But people will freak out.
I'm freaking out. Wade Box played third base and had more doubles power and a better batting eye.
Better everything.
I think Tony Gwynn's a better contact hitter.
All right. The Hangover.
Hangover is better than Dodgeball. Do you agree? Are you agreeing with all of these, what you're saying?
I agree. Bruce Almighty.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Dodgeball's better than Bruce Almighty.
I think Dodgeball's better.
Borat.
I'd rather watch Dodgeball now, but I'll say, I don't know if I ever laughed as hard in the theater as Borat. So
Superbad.
Superbad's better than Dodgeball.
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder's better than Dodgeball.
Anchorman.
Anchorman's better.
The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
40-Year-Old Virgin's better.
This is just a loaded, I'm not trying to.
I know, this is
fuck.
The thing.
We haven't even said Step Brothers. Step Brothers.
Oh my God, yeah. Step Brothers is different. I think Step Brothers.
Let's get Dodgeball some wins here. Me, myself, and Irene.
Oh, Dodgeball by a mile.
School of Rock.
Dodgeball. I don't like School of Rock.
I don't either. I don't like Jack Black. I don't like Jack Black.
Kids.
Zoolander. Here you go.
Oh.
Give it a win.
Dodgeball by a mile.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day, it's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission. to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special, folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
God, Wedding Crashers, old school. Pineapple Express. I didn't.
Well, I did not like Pineapple Express that much.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. That's not very.
That's
good.
Fine. This is Dodgeball's better.
Yeah. So Dodgeball.
Dodgeball's really good.
Dodgeball fits into an era where we were laughing more than we've ever laughed.
We were spoiled.
We didn't know what we had.
We didn't.
We did not know. We were 25 when this came out.
I didn't appreciate it. I just assumed this comedy bonanza would roll on forever. Yeah. I was very wrong.
And then a Hangover.
You haven't even really mentioned a lot of Will Ferrell movies. Like there's so many great.
A Leg of Nights.
I like this better.
I do too.
I mean, this is very funny.
Very funny.
I mean, this
you can name 20. Crazy. I think you can name 20 elite comedies from that decade.
You can name 20 comedies from that decade that are better than any comedy from this decade. It's or whatever since then.
Yeah.
So sad.
It is. It is. And in fairness to this decade, I think the 90s probably had 7 or 8 elite comedies.
Roll in the back end, though.
Really? It's close to the 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're thinking about Mary. You go through. They're all there. Dumb and Dumber is, I guess, 94.
Yeah.
We're all 94 on. Nothing from 90 to 93.
So on June 18th, 2004, when this came out, Dodgeball finished number one, made $30 million in its opening weekend. Here's what else was in the theater. Now, number two, I believe Tom Hanks' worst movie, The Terminal.
Terminal's bad.
It's really bad.
It's not like horrible. It's just
I was trying to date a 6-foot volleyball player this summer, I would eventually meet my wife. But I loved her and she was beautiful and awesome. And I took her to two movies. I took her to Anchorman and The Terminal. And The Terminal is what sank it, I think.
Yeah, that's tough to come back from. This quiet moments of Terminal I did enjoy, but I would be lying if I said I.
Harry Potter in one of his movies.
I think it's the first one, right?
No, it's The Prisoner of Azkaban, whichever one that is.
All right.
Shrek 2 is
I don't like Shrek.
Is out making.
No, that's a hot take, and everyone gets mad at me. I don't like Shrek. I'm sorry.
Garfield, the live action Garfield's out. Chronicles of Riddick, Stepford Wives, Day After Tomorrow, Around the World in 80 Days, and Troy. So there were better movies coming There were better movies coming in 2004. Like Anchorman's coming soon. There are good movies coming, but this was at that point the best. Although I like Shrek 2, the best of a pretty sorry lot.
I mean, like I said earlier, 90s movies as a whole are better.
Yeah.
We went through what basketball was up against. But I'll say it all day. There's no better decade for comedy than the first decade of the 2000s.
Whose career would you rather have, Vince Vaughn or Ben Stiller?
Ben Stiller's.
It's pretty easy, but Vince Vaughn's got a good career. I wonder who a good comparison for him is.
He's even good in like The Breakup.
He's good. He's just
like a fine movie.
He's just a good actor. Yeah. And he kind of plays Vince Vaughn a lot, where the fast talking, and he actually plays it less in this movie.
Yeah.
But he plays Vince Vaughn a lot. Like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers is Vince Vaughn in a lot of other movies.
Swingers, and they're all the same. Yeah.
But this is him being just the mild mannered lead is different. And he's good at it.
He's good. And they're all, everyone here, like I said, Stephen Root, Justin Long, you go through the list, they're all good here. Christine Taylor is very good.
Well.
Oh, come on.
Well,
you didn't like her?
I feel like we've got Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller. And even our character actors, Justin Long.
Stephen Root.
Yeah. And our female lead is Christine Taylor. I like it's. Come on. You understand. There's just a drop as far as prestige there.
I think I'm blinded by being. I just think she's very pretty. And I think I'm
that's what I don't think. I think she's too plain looking.
Oh, I think she's very pretty.
In fact, my trade, I'm bringing Jenny McCarthy up.
Oh, no, no, no.
I want to get Jenny McCarthy. You tell me if they're not fighting over
Jenny McCarthy's not going
to. Oh, shit. I'd throw a dodgeball through somebody's fucking chest right now.
Jenny McCarthy is not working at a bank.
Oh, Jenny McCarthy could work at a bank?
No. Christine Taylor, I
believe. Yasmin Bleeth could work at a bank?
Yasmin Bleeth can't read. I do think.
How do you know Yasmin Bleeth can't
that
read?
That character seemed like we're supposed to believe that character.
She was running a charitable foundation.
And I didn't believe it.
Did you like, I hate to go back movies, did you like the hospital scene? Or is that where it fell apart for you? Where they're.
Actually, I didn't mind that.
Okay.
They were leaning into it a bit.
The absurdity there was pretty crazy.
That was funny. The sick kid is
What's
dying.
What's the best scene in Dodgeball for you?
Oof. This is where it kind of trips me up because the movie's such a casual watch. It's so lovely.
Right. It doesn't peak and valley much.
Right.
It's kind of right along.
I think it's more a movie about characters. And I can tell you which character are my favorites, which ones I don't like as much.
White Goodman, I assume, is your favorite character.
I think actually the Vince Vaughn character. I loved it, but whatever.
His name's Peter.
The character is great. Like, I think it's more about the individual characters than, like, specific points.
Yeah.
It really is an ensemble.
No, it does. It gets on the road and goes about 65 the whole way. Never goes 90. Never goes 30. It's just a smooth ride. In an hour and a half, it drops you off at your destination. And you're happy. So, all right, well, do you want to do a trade? Because I'm trading Jenny McCarthy for Christopher
Taylor. I would veto that trade.
Can't veto that trade. I get my own trade.
We're going to veto that trade. I don't like that. I have no trade here. This movie stinks. This movie's very good. I wouldn't change anything about this
movie. You wouldn't bring Robert Stack in somehow?
Casting perspective. I don't think so. No, I keep everything here. I really enjoyed the hell out of this movie.
Now the announcers here are great.
Yes.
Like Jason Bateman and...
And Gary Cole, yeah.
Yeah, Gary Cole. They're great. Al Michaels and Bob Costas doing what they did in basketball could have also worked here.
Yeah.
It could have worked here. That would have been funny.
The only thing is, though, this is PG-13.
Yeah.
Dodgeball. And it doesn't really feel
But Al Michaels and Costas don't do anything R-rated.
I guess, although no, Al Michaels is kind of leering at the guy. I bet you could do
that. He says, a few years ago, this sport was played in backyards, and a few years ago, these cheerleaders were in grade school. Right. That's fucking funny.
Fucking wild.
Al Michaels said that.
Yeah.
While he was famous.
Yes.
Yeah,
he was doing Monday Night Football. Yes.
All right. So, what's your score for this one?
I gave Hoosiers what, an 83.
Yeah.
I give Dodgeball 85.
It's weird.
It's not as good as Happy
Gilmore. I disagree with it being better than Hoosiers, but I have it in the same general range. I think it's a solid movie. But the good thing about me is I don't have Hoosiers at 83.
Yeah.
You stupidly do.
I don't think it's stupid, but...
So my 80s are free to put these B-plus movies in there. This is not an A movie. It's a very solid B, and I give it an 83.
All right. So we're in the 83. You give this a stupid, like, 44. That was dumb.
I think it's better than you think it is.
I bet people will agree with you.
If we put it on right now, there would be 5 moments where we laugh.
I agree with that. The problem is... The high points are there, but there's few of them, and the low points are just tough to get through.
Well, there's nothing tying it together. There's no character to tie it together. You don't want these guys to succeed. You don't know why they're friends. Like there's nothing. Anyway.
You just want it to be over. That was a rough watch.
Yeah, it was.
Next week, we have a...
I'm very excited. I think next week might be our best pair of movies.
I think you might be right.
As far as the both movie quality, it's not even close. I don't think
we've never had two movies like this.
Yeah, I think that we could have two movies above 80 next week.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we've done that.
Which one's better.
We have Air.
Yep.
And Jerry Maguire.
Right.
Two sports movies, not about sports.
Sports business movies.
Sports business movies.
Yes. With big casts, big stars, and a lot to talk about.
And Kelly Preston.
That's right.
Prime.
Another Jason Bateman movie.
Oh, Air. Yeah. I was thinking, where was he? Yeah. Oh, and Jay Moore is Bob Sugar.
Oh yeah,
Jay. When I saw that, I thought Jay Moore was going to be a gigantic star.
Me too.
Yeah,
I had the same thing. Very good Jay Moore book, Gasping for Airtime.
Why?
Why what?
Why would I read Jay Moore's book?
Because it's really interesting. He talks about his time in SNL, and it's very he's very like open about how he felt. He had panic attacks. It's a really interesting. It's very short. It's a really good read if you're interested in SNL history. Jay Moore is Gasping for Airtime. It's very like you would think he has a big ego, but he doesn't in that at all. Talks about how he fucked it up.
All right, whatever. I don't give a shit about Jay Moore.
What? We just talked about Jay Moore. You said he'd have to be a big star. It's interesting to...
Are you done?
You're just being difficult.
Are you done? I wish I could give a score for hosting this show. I'll give you a 12.
No.
What was that noise? No.
I don't like that talk. You're being negative to be negative. You're just being mean now. Be nice.
I was more positive in this show than you were.
Would you give me a 98, you think? As a host, a co-host?
No.
Who do you work with? Do you give a high score to?
Jenny McCarthy.
Look, if you're a bigger guy like us, have you ever bought a shirt that technically fits, but it doesn't like actually fit? That's why this is my favorite brand of all f-ing time. One Bone. I'm in love with everything that I put on today. In fact, I would say I've never loved a brand more than One Bone. Trust me, you guys are going to romanticize getting dressed in the morning. That's what One Bone does. Go to onebone.com and upgrade to a fit that is actually built for you. Use code BARSTOOL for 20% off to see the difference firsthand. After one wear, you'll understand why standard fits don't make the cut.
You don't work with Jay McCarthy.
What if I did?
Yeah.